let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some art.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick-Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this month by our fabulous friends at the Dolphin Theatre. Kick-Arts at Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. Tonight we're chatting theatre with the team from Good Night, Mr. Tom, and we're chatting music with the group Good Loser, and also the artist Macy is coming to say hello, and we're chatting to the recording label Chosen Records. But to kick off the show, we had a lovely email all the way from Tom in the UK asking us to promote his lovely artist Daisy Veercock Down Under. The brand new track, only released yesterday, is called Clapham, and it's a witty, horn-driven pop anthem about late-night chaos and rekindled romance. Daisy is headlining the Camden Assembly on the 4th of November this year. Thanks, Tom, for tuning in and listening to us and sending this our way. Here is Clapham.
Call out. Oh, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I was so out. Find my friends for finding me. Drinking ends with him down south. So I was thinking when he started calling, it was always bound to happen. So I've been spending weekends feeling cool, confused, and clapping. My friends on my location, so now we started scrapping. They asked me what I'm doing, said it's all. To the kitchen when I wake up in the morning. Is this a brand new flatmate or just a name I'm not recalling? Left my keys inside his pocket, so I've gotta call my sister. She says it's a tall order while I get judged by the barista. Night binge drinking ends with him down south. So I was thinking when he started. Feeling cool, confused, and clapping. My friends on my location, so now we started scrapping. They asked me what I'm doing, said it's always bound to happen. Feeling cool, confused, and clapping. Night binge drinking ends with him down south. With a mouse to mouth. So I was thinking when he started calling, it was always bound to happen. So I've been spending weekends feeling cool, confused, and clapping. My friends on my location, so now we started scrapping. They asked me what I'm doing, said it's always bound to happen.
Fantastic. Thank you. Daisy Veercock, Clapham all the way from the UK. Emma and I just talking about, we love it, the fact that our wonderful listeners send in music and different things to us. Keep them coming. Email us info@kickarts.org.nz. How you going, Emma?
Yeah, good.
You've had another busy few days. Quick trip, where was it this time?
Quick trip down to Christchurch for the National MTNZ Executive face-to-face meeting. So a day and a half of strategic planning.
Nice that you do that face-to-face, though, rather than online.
Yeah.
Just keep your head in the space, I guess.
Yeah, three times a year we come together, and the rest of the time we're online.
Brilliant.
So, no, it was good. And we got to go to Rangiora, I think they're North Canterbury Musical Theatre. Their opening night of Little Woman at the Rangiora Town Hall, which is a beautiful theatre, and it's actually also the cinema. So on one side is the two cinemas, and on then the beautiful theatre with old-fashioned rolled ice creams and everything. So, but a great show. I love Little Woman, like songs like Astonishing and that.
It's really come back again. I've noticed, and several theatre groups seem to be doing it at the moment. It's really sort of got a resurgence.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's got such great songs, and if you've got a strong body of women performers, the songs are just stunning. But we went to something together on, I can't even remember
Equally
when it was
stunning
now.
On Thursday, night, over to the Pump House to see fabulous Jackie Clark with songs
for nobody. Yeah, so she played 10 people in the course of the 2 hours. So she played the nobodies that had had an interaction with a famous singer, and she played the famous singer. So people like Judy Garland, Billie Holiday,
Patsy Cline,
Maria Callas, and one other. Edith Piaf.
Thank you.
There we go.
Knew that would trigger it.
Yeah, definitely. But was so amazing seeing Jackie playing all these accents, totally changing, you know, the and then with Penny Dodd's beautiful accompaniment. So it's on, still on. So do get along and see it. It was a really good night out.
Yeah, head to the Pump House for all the details. Thanks to the Dolphin Theatre for sponsoring us. Off to check out their show this week, but we appreciate
the
your support. Yeah, it looks a little bit different. I'm intrigued by that one. Looking forward to it. But we're heading South Auckland to kick off the show tonight with the Papakura Theatre Company as we welcome Emma, Miriam and Mark to the show with Goodnight, Mr. Tom. Welcome, team.
Hi.
Thank you. Hello.
Great to have you here. Now, Emma, you're the director, so you get to kick it off. Tell us, what is Goodnight, Mr. Tom all about?
Okay, Goodnight, Mr. Tom is set in England in the wartime, Second World War, and an evacuee, William, comes from London and to a small village. He's a pretty traumatised little boy, and he is billeted with a very grumpy, reclusive old man. Mr.
Grumpy
Tom.
And reclusive, I love that.
Yeah. And and he gets to know all the people in the village, and you know, there's quite a bit of trauma and drama and misery involved, but it's also ultimately a really uplifting story about the power of friendship and the power of arts. You know, that they do performing theatre and painting and singing. And it really heals this poor little boy who's had such a difficult upbringing. Yeah.
What made you choose to direct this one? What sort of stood out for you, I guess?
Yeah, I did it actually at the Dolphin Theatre a few years ago, and my son played William, so I was absolutely in love with the show then. I really love shows that have a really powerful sort of storyline and something to think about. It's also got a, they say never to work with kids or animals, and doing both of it in this one, we've got kids, they're older kids playing younger kids, but also there's a dog in it, which is a puppet. But it's quite amazing how the puppet becomes one of the most beloved characters in it. Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. All right, and you've brought two of your cast along today. So, Miriam, tell us, who do you play?
I play the role of William Beach, who is the evacuated child.
Okay, so what's that like?
It's quite different from what I usually play. I usually play girls because I am a girl. But it's definitely got a wider variety of emotions. It's a very deep character, so it's quite a cool experience for me. Yeah.
That's cool. And was this a play that you were aware of before you auditioned, or did you just rock on up and go, let's see what happens?
Yeah, I was kind of aware of it, but it was definitely a different experience to actually read through the script properly and learn about it. So, yeah, it was cool.
Have you done plays like this before?
Yeah, I've done a few different plays at a few different places.
Okay.
It's my second time at the Papakura Theatre. But, yeah.
And what's been the biggest challenge so far?
I think the biggest challenge so far has been learning the lines and getting my emotions to the depth that they should be. Yeah.
Is it based on a true story?
No.
No. No, because it had that sort of vibe at the start, and you were in trial. I wondered if it was, because then you'd have to honour that. So have you done any research into sort of the characters or characters of the time?
Yeah, I have done a bit of research on different people in World War II and what it would be like for the evacuees.
Cool. All right, and how did you describe Mr. Tom?
Reclusive and grumpy.
Reclusive and grumpy. So, Mark, good to see you smiling. And tell us, what's it like being Mr. Tom?
Well, it depends who you're talking to, I guess. Some might say that there's not a lot of acting going on, but no, I enjoy the role. It's getting to work with kids, but don't get to do that often. So that's a nice little challenge in itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
So tell us about the character of Mr. Tom. How would you describe him from your point of view?
Well, good question. He's a lonely old fella, kind of set in his ways. Doesn't really have many friends. I don't want to give any spoilers away, eh?
You want enough so that people want to come and see it.
I don't know what I can say. Well, let's just say this young man comes into his life and... I don't know, from my perspective, it's almost like a bit of a love story, you know, with an old guy and maybe reclaiming of something that he lost.
Right.
Without going into too much detail.
Yeah, cool. Okay. And have you played characters like this before?
Grumpy old men before.
Yeah.
Maybe yes. Maybe a few times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know the story before tackling this?
No.
No, interesting.
No.
Yeah.
I asked him about the ins and outs and asked whether or not I should audition, and she said, yes, please do. So, yeah, always nerve-wracking auditioning, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're coming to the end of the rehearsal process now?
Yes, 2 weeks to go, I think.
Final
before
countdown.
We're on, yeah.
How are we feeling, Mr. Director? Are you feeling like it's on track?
Yeah, pretty good. We've had our ups and downs through this, lost a cast member, and Miriam came on later in the piece. She's been absolutely amazing. We've had a bit of, some challenges, but it really feels like it's coming together in a most amazing way now, and the cast are just so fantastic to work with, and their attitude and their energy and just their willingness to try everything.
How many in the cast?
Got a cast of 18.
Okay. That's a decent number for a play.
Huge for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
So tell us about your journey as a director. We'll sort of cover your arts journey a little later in the show, but just from a directing point of view?
I started directing in 2009, actually, 19, at Papakura. Did Steel Magnolias there. We opened for 2 days and then got shut down with COVID. It was a really interesting process, though. We put it back on stage again 6 months later, and so I got to revisit my directing. Mm. And, so that was a really interesting process. I guess since then, I've been really drawn towards drama and stories that have a lot of meaning behind them, yeah.
Okay. What do you hope the audiences will take from this show?
Ah, yeah, that's a really good question. I think it was such a turbulent time in our history, and it feels like we haven't really got too far away from these crazy leaders that cause so much trouble and sideline people. And yeah, and I think it's a reminder for everyone to be inclusive and be kind and to be open to and caring for others. Yeah.
Nice. Miriam, what about you? What do you think people your age might take away from this work?
I hope that they take away the same message to just be inclusive and accepting of other people. I feel like the play explores a lot of just different characters and a lot of different people's experiences and stuff, which are so relatable to our real life. So, yeah, I really hope that people recognise that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Mark, I want you to pretend Emma's not in the room.
Uh-oh.
How would you describe her directing style? What sort of, is it collaborative work to rule? We've had one that talks about grids that they work to. How does Emma direct?
No, she's collaborative. Shall I share a secret now?
Yeah, yeah.
Show my age. Emma and I met 40 years ago at school. So we've done a bit of drama before, but I think her approach, she certainly tells you what you want, but she's also open to ideas. I don't know, it's just, it's easy, I think, to work with someone like that, that you kind of know what the vision is and you just... There's a trust there as well, that she trusts that you can do the role on the job, which is also good. No hand holding, eh?
No, definitely not.
Not too much?
No.
And she's quite, she's been kind to me on my lines, which is
good. He's not as young as he used to be, and the lines don't come so quick.
And Emma, how would you describe your directing style?
Oh, you're collaborative, I hope. Yeah, I think I can probably get quite picky and, you know, detail-driven at times. But I think the priority really is this is community theatre and we want people to have a good time and to grow in what they're doing, to improve always and to do, you know, perform to the best of their abilities. So, yeah, I hope it's that. I hope people are happy.
How much prep work did you need to do with this script? You know, some directors need to kind of really map and block it out in their head before they even see cast. Others go, no, I need the cast in front of me to sort of see where this is going to go. What sort of script is this one leaning towards?
Oh, I'm a super organiser, so I have been at this for, I don't know, 9-10 months, just on and off. Some of the blocking, a cast of 18, like the most I've directed in a play before has been 6, so that has been, I don't think I could have quite organised myself for that. I wasn't prepared for how challenging that would be. Just trying to keep the, you know, head on all of that, but yeah, generally I do research everything. Yeah,
brilliant. All right, we'll throw it to a music break now, and then after the break we're going to find out their arts journeys, what led them up to doing or what they are doing now. The fabulous Sabrine, who's been on the show before, has released a new track this week. It is called The End.
Again, no one calls.
fabulous Sabrine with the end. Check out the lyric video up on YouTube. Still making great music, which is fantastic. Now, before we get back talking to our Papakura friends, our friends on the west side have emailed
us. We've got
us.
Lots of friends,
I know,
we
have got them all over the place. Well, our west side friends at Titirangi Theatre have emailed us asking us to do a bit of a plug for an event they've got next weekend. It's an open stage night, a chance for anyone to have the opportunity to perform in front of an audience in a friendly and supportive environment. They do mention there's also a bar in the foyer, which also helps those friendly environments. So if you want to try a song or a poem in front of an audience, have a monologue that you've been wanting to do for a while, or maybe you'd like to try your new comedy set, then come and perform at Titirangi Theatre's open stage night on the 18th of October, 7 p.m. for a 7:30 start. Or they also just want some audience too. So if you want to be that supportive audience, grab a wine or a juice and go and sit down and enjoy. Now, contact Titirangi Theatre for all the details. It'll be up on their websites so that you can get involved. It's next Saturday the 18th, and entry to perform is free, and it's also free to be an audience member. Really cool. Great. Thank you, Karen. Now back to our fabulous guests here in the studio. I want to go back now and track their arts journeys, and I'm going to start in the middle with Miriam. Miriam, what first kicked off theatre and the arts for you?
I started doing acting lessons when I was about 10 years old, so I've been doing it for about 7 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going, continue.
Yeah. So I've been involved in a few different plays in the community. I think that the first one that I ever did was A Christmas Carol at Howick Little Theatre.
Nice.
And it just really broke me into that world of community theatre, and I just fell in love with it and being able to get involved.
Brilliant. Has it always been plays, or do you do musicals as well?
Yeah, it's just been plays.
Okay. What is it about plays that you love so much?
I'm not a very confident singer, so I prefer the plays for that reason. It's just more of my comfort zone.
Nice. And have you had a favourite show over the years? You can't mention this one because it hasn't opened yet. Favourite show over the years?
I think that my favourite show that I've ever done was Spider's Web at the Dolphin Theatre.
Ooh, okay. Vaguely remember that one. Okay, cool. What did you love about that one so much?
It was just very different sort of play. It felt very entertaining. The cast was pretty great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you prefer comedy, drama, mystery?
I really like the drama plays. Okay. I think that they're very entertaining to be in.
Yeah. Interesting. Mark mentioned before, or Emma kind of dobbed him in on the line learning. How do you go learning your lines in something like this?
What I like to do is I like to record my cue lines and my lines and then just play that over and over again until I can kind of recite along with the lines.
Great.
And then I get people to test me on it.
There was my cast of Jersey Boys, Emma, were using an app which I hadn't seen before. I'm trying to think what it was called. And it was really cool because you learnt it, the lines in, but as you spoke to it, it was listening, so it gave you all the cues perfectly.
Where's that?
Yeah, I'll find you the name.
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome
app. It was really cool, and it was a little different. I mean, I know people have recorded for years, but this one, you actually record your line and the cue lines, etc., several, and it basically runs it in an AI of voices talking to you, but it's waiting for you to put in your correct ones at the correct time. So it was really good. Yeah, I'll find out the name, because we should plug that. It was really useful. Okay, if a dream role could come up for you, what would it look like? What's the role that you're hoping to one day play?
I think I would love to be in any sort of musical, like Hamilton or Les Mis. That would be really cool. So if an opportunity for that came up.
I love that you just said singing is out of your comfort zone, but I'd really love to be in Hamilton, one of the hardest ones to jump to. That's cool, that's cool.
But if she got a part that only rapped, then she doesn't need to sing.
True. And maybe start getting into some ensemble shows for musicals to start building that confidence up.
Yeah.
Because you've got the talent already in the acting. Add some of that singing ensemble. You'll be there. Okay, Les Mis and Hamilton. I'm getting a very serious vibe across the table from Maria. Okay, awesome. Emma, take us back. When did your arts journey first kick off?
My dad was a professional actor at Mercury Theatre way back in the day. So, we got to grow up there really in the green room and get to know all the actors. So it was never not part of my life.
Yeah.
And I sort of joined theatre groups at 5 years old, and have been acting more or less pretty solidly ever since. Yeah, bit of a break when I had kids, but otherwise, yeah, it's a huge part of my life.
Growing up in the green room of the theatre, I love it. Mm. Can I ask who your dad is?
Oh, Arthur Wright. You probably wouldn't know him. It's a long time ago.
Right, okay. Well, we grew up as a family that went, we had, you know, the season tickets at the Mercury, so you sat in the same seats every season for everything. So, nice. Yeah, grew up in that space. On the other side of the wall, dream role for you that you would like to either act in or direct? Is there something on your list?
No.
No? There open isn't. For offers.
Yeah, open for offers. Totally open for offers. You asked about that earlier, and I just can't.
That's okay. If you look back on all the things that you've done, is there one that stands out for you?
I really love doing Calendar Girls. Mm-hmm. I play Chris and Calendar Girls. Yeah. It was great fun, huge fun. Love female-driven stories too, and those relationships. Mm. Yeah, I particularly enjoy those, I guess, yeah.
You were great. I enjoyed that. That was very good. All right, down the line now, Mark, take us back. When did it all start?
Quite at a young age, at 5 at school, doing my first show. But if you ask my parents, they'd probably say I was always acting the clown at some point in life. Just started picking it up at intermediate school. I had a teacher, Mrs. Bryant, who sort of, because drama wasn't necessarily a subject there, but she managed to get me some TV roles.
Ah.
Auditions, not roles, auditions. went on that sort of path for a little bit. Didn't get them, obviously, but the experience was very, very interesting and good, and I just sort of got more interested in theatre and acting from there, I guess.
And has your life been sort of in that community setting? Do you move around different theatres and venues, or do you tend to stay in Papakura?
Yeah, no, I've done some stuff at the Dolphin, Howick Little Theatre, Harlequin Theatre, Papakura. Just close to home. Don't go over the shore stuff.
Favourite show you look back on?
Can I say two?
Please.
Okay. So Papakura Theatre, 13 years ago. Did Blackadder Goes Forth. I think that's probably the favourite comedic role I did.
Brilliant.
Then, I don't know what year this was, but at the Dolphin Theatre I did a show called Madman Sings to the Moon, which was a very dramatic role. Played a Scotsman who pretty much held up the cafe for nearly 2 hours with a pistol, so it's very intense.
Brilliant. Now, when we were off air, Mark was sharing his first story, which I noticed he just missed out, didn't he? He just said, I did my first one when I was at school. I feel like he missed the casting
discussion.
Oh,
you want the details?
So, who did you play in your first show?
Okay, when I was 5 at primary school, I got to play Good King Wenceslas.
And how were you cast and why?
I'm glad you asked. I got cast because I owned a red dressing gown.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
And that was the casting requirement.
That was it.
It's
looked like king.
Have you still got a red dressing gown? Because, you know, Hugh Hefner, there's always roles.
It's funny you say that. No, I won't say that on here. No, I don't have a red dressing gown. I have a blue one.
Brilliant. Miriam, what do you do during the day now? Are you still at school?
Yes, I am.
Do you see the arts as something you want to continue when you leave school? What's your sort of future plans?
It's not something that I would continue in education, but I definitely want to continue it as a hobby in my free time.
Nice. If we crystal ball, where are we heading in your day job for the future?
A lawyer.
Oh, good. Okay, so but you need the arts in that.
Yes.
Like the best lawyers, good communicators, speak well. So many of Emma and I's drama students are now lawyers because that's a real, they go to become teachers, actors or lawyers. It's quite interesting because it's so good to use that communication, but also to read people, to be able to make eye contact with people. The arts is good for that. It's a long journey though.
Yeah, definitely.
You're up for the challenge?
I think I am.
Good on you. Fantastic. Emma, can I ask what mischief do you get up to in the day?
Oh, yeah, I work for myself. I'm a celebrant, graphic designer, basically everything else in between as well.
Anything that pops up in the mix?
Yeah.
Great. And when you're a celebrant, is that mainly out south or go anywhere?
Oh, all
giving
over,
you a plug here.
Really. Yeah, all over, funerals and weddings, around Auckland.
Brilliant. Mm. And Mark, you're a teacher?
I am indeed, yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, okay. Teach the drama.
Yeah.
Social studies, history. Have taught classics in the past.
Favourite subject to teach?
Oh, I've got to say drama on this, don't I?
You do probably do on the show, yeah.
Hopefully my social studies boss isn't listening. I'm sure he won't be.
Love it.
So being a social studies / drama teacher in a show like this must come in quite handy.
I think that's probably one of the things that drew me to it, because my two majors from university was history and drama, so straight away that whole World War II aspect of what was going on at that time certainly interested me in it, yeah.
Very cool. What's the favourite show that you've directed?
Oh, well, being a drama teacher, I've directed a few productions at school. Nothing major, just class productions, but I did direct my first adult production of Pippa Crew Theatre last year, which was also very interesting because I found out very quickly that students and adults aren't necessarily that different when you're directing them. Some of the behaviours backstage, I won't mention names, but I think if they're listening, they'll know who they are.
I'm trying to think who was in your show now.
I won't dub them in.
Do you prefer the directing to the acting? Or do you like the variety?
Well, I tell you one thing with directing. I think it gives you an opportunity as a performer to sort of have a hand in all roles rather than just focusing on one as an actor itself. So I kind of like them both.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tough call for Miriam and Mark now. If you were your character in Goodnight, Mr. Tom, not yourselves, how would your character sell that people should come to the show? Like, what would they think about their story being told?
I think William would want to encourage people to come to, support him and his journey and just, understanding what different people are going through. Yeah.
Okay, nice. And Mr. Tom himself?
I want to say that maybe he's a beacon of hope after what he's gone through and then what he goes through. I think that kind of hopefully tells people that there is actually something maybe to look forward to and they should just hold on.
Nice. Mm. Nice. All right, Emma, if you were doing the plug for the show now, your 30-second commercial, how would you sell this show and where can people get tickets, find out more and all of that sort of thing? I'll be kind, I'll give you a minute.
Oh, a whole minute? Oh, my goodness, how am I going to fill up there? I can't even remember the date. It starts on the 25th of October and runs through to the 11th of November, and you can get your tickets at iTicket. Look, it is a wonderful play and there's something for everyone. It's not light. There's definitely some real depth and sadness to it. But I think it really is a beautiful play and this cast have worked so hard and the crew to make it really incredible. So please come along and see it. You won't regret it.
Brilliant. All the best for your season. Thanks for coming out on a Sunday night after a day of rehearsals. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Go well. Now, if you've got a show coming up, make sure you email us info@kickarts.org.nz so we can pop you in our schedule and you can promote yourself. Plus, we can pop you up on our website. Go and check it out. All the details are there. We are heading north now to chat to a band as well as their producers. Up in the north, here is Good Loser, which is the group we're going to chat to in a second, with their song called Ha. We'll be right back. the fabulous group Good Loser, who we are about to chat to now. Welcome to the show, Ben and Sol. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing well.
Great to have you here. And also on the line, we have Eddie from Chosen Records, who Emma's chuckling away because I said it was up north, but it's the North Shore. But to us, that's up north. Welcome to the show, Eddie.
Hey, thanks very much for your time. It's great to be here.
Look, it's great to have you all here tonight. And Eddie, you kick it off. Tell us a little bit about Chosen Records, because when you first contacted us, it sounds really special.
Yeah, look, Stephen, it is special. Essentially, it came out of a dream. And, you know, the dream was a dream that we believe that everyone, especially every musician, has some sort of gold in them, you know. And it's a tough industry, so we thought, well, you know, let's try and help some of these people out and give them a bit of a start and give them some opportunity, give them some exposure and that kind of thing. And yeah, so it started small, and yeah, so was the birth of Chosen Records.
Brilliant. How long has it been running?
Well, we've been only going for about 12 months now. So yeah, essentially we started with a trip to Samoa, just taking a few musicians to Samoa, and to the back of the island, and just doing some music workshops with some of the young people in the villages, and then we held a concert with some great, very well known Samoan artists, as well as our own band. So yeah, and that's where the dream started.
That is so cool. And you're in a special location on the shore too.
Yeah, we are. We're in Northcote at the old Hatapetra College. So, you know, for so long it was empty and, you know, nothing really going on there. And so, you know, there's the organisation's been there for a while. And, yeah, it's just great to see life back in the old buildings, and creativity and, you know, music, of course, and people laughing and yeah, just coming up with some fantastic lyrics and songs.
So how do you go about getting someone on your label?
Yeah, that's a slightly different to probably what most labels do. Our founder and CEO, Mac Andre, actually posted an ad, and it was almost a challenge to say, you know, I've always been told that, and even he was told as a young age that, you know, music couldn't be a vocation. And so essentially, without going into the ad too much, it was like, if it's, you know, you meet this certain criteria and it sounds a little bit like you, then let's have a chat.
Brilliant.
So,
yeah.
So tell us about, like, who are some of the people that you have listed?
Yeah, so obviously you've just heard the amazing Good Loser, Ben and Sol. So we've got those guys. We've got quite a wide spread of genre, actually. From, you know, hip hop to R&B, some reggae, and other different ones. So everyone's sort of come in with a story, you know, everyone's sort of had their struggles and their story that, you know, just trying to make it in their bedroom, make it while they're working and that kind of thing. And we thought, well, you know, there's got to be a way that we can help. So if we can essentially, you know, help them with a wage, and at the same time while they're making music, while they're creating, you know, and like I said, giving them the environment to be able to record, to be able to produce what we see is fantastic music, and which we've been given some great help from some extremely great people in the industry as well. So, you know, each of them has their own story, each of them have incredible gifts and talents. And we essentially just, you know, after talking with them, believed in them and said, well, let's give it a try.
Well, that's a beautiful segue.
Yeah, so...
let's chat to Ben and Sol then from Good Loser. Tell us your story that led up to heading to Chosen Records.
Oh, my. Well, first of all, love you lots, Eddie. Thank you, baby. I actually got a call from the CEO, Mac, and he said, do you want to be at Chosen Records? And I was like, you know what? sure. Sounds a bit sketchy, but I'll join. And I got there, and it was the most amazing experience ever. It was just wow. And then maybe a week later into being at the label, I met Ben, who's here right now.
Yes.
And I was like, hey, you have Sputs. You are cool. And you need to be in my band. And so I asked him to be in Good Loser. And then from there on, we've just been making music ever since.
Love it. That's so cool. So, Ben, take us back. When did your sort of journey in music kick off for you?
I had always been playing guitar as a hobby and kind of writing my own songs outside of work. But it wasn't until last year that I thought I'd quit my job and give music a crack full time. I'd tried singing and everything, but when I started at Chosen Records, I was looking for soul actually to sing my song. Somebody had said they had a great voice, and rather than that, we ended up writing one within 15 minutes of meeting each other.
Oh, that's cool. And so what about you? Has music been part of your life for a long time?
Yeah, music has been all I've really known ever since I got into high school, you know. Like, I was in a big band called Parkdale, and we won Rock Quest and stuff, and got a couple of awards. And then the band eventually split off, and I was like, man, I just need to keep releasing music. I need to find more people. I need to find my people. And then I met Ben, and ever since then, Good Loser has been complete. Just been so much better.
That's cool. That's cool. What's the goal then for Good Loser? It feels like you're just sort of starting the journey off. Where would you like to take it?
World domination.
Simple. Good answer. And to get there, where are we heading?
Well, well, we've got an album coming out around the end of this year, which will be really, really exciting. Planning to do a couple of shows. I reckon our main goal right now within the next year would be to do a tour across NZ. It'd be
nice.
Amazing to do that. Definitely been a big dream of ours. And then maybe even more afterwards, you know?
Brilliant. So tell us about Chosen Records and, you know, the part that they've played in this journey, because there's obviously other groups out there that this could sort of prick their interest to go and speak with them. What was so special about their journey with you?
Well, you know, I think they just opened up a lot of opportunities for us. Once I had, like, gone off from my previous band, I really didn't know what to do. I didn't know where I was going. And then Mac Andre, practically like my savior, just came to me. He said he'll give me an opportunity. And I took it, and I haven't regretted it since. I've had the most amazing experience. I've met people that I've grown to love, and, you know, just made a lot of friendships along the way. It's been amazing, really. They've opened up so many opportunities for us. They've allowed us to kind of survive while we're working on our creative skills.
Right.
The work job, and then you might get a bit of that in the evening or weekend. But being able to do it full time, and you wake up and just kind of live how you, I guess, any artist would like to.
Yeah, really. Quite the dream, really.
Yeah.
Really boosted our careers by, like, a lot, and we have Chosen Records to thank for that. It's been amazing.
That's awesome. Eddie, when you hear that, does that sort of tick the, you know, the goals of what, why you set this up?
Yeah, look, it does, Stephen. It's, you know, we always tell the guys, and it's true, our dream is their dream. And that goes for every single one of the artists, you know. And all we want is for them to pursue their passion, use the gifts and talents they've been given, and, you know, go and do something with all of that
but not only just, but to bring some positive influence as well, you know, into the listeners and, you know, build people up instead of tearing people down and, you know, giving people hope instead of, you know, having that sort of uselessness. So, you know, yeah, that's it's incredible just to hear the guys say that sort of thing and see the growth in them as well. They're maturing as young men, but also musicians and, you know, becoming, a really great group.
All right, we're going to take a music break now and play another one of your tracks, and then I'm going to ask you all about the New Zealand music scene and how tough this journey is. But first of all, Ben and Sol, tell us about I Care Now. What should we know before I hit play on this one? It's your story.
I reckon I'll take that question because I wrote the song. But I Care Now means a lot to me as a songwriter. It's all about when I was in high school and it seemed like drugs were such a normalization and that people weren't really caring enough and they were just thinking, oh, you know, we'll just go to the park, we'll have some snacks and then we'll go home and forget about it kind of thing. And I'm thinking, wow, that's actually much bigger of a problem than you think. And I think people should really be more aware that drugs are a really big issue here in Aotearoa and should be more aware, aka they should probably care now rather than later, you know, because later on you might regret it and you might wish that you cared more in the past. So
all right.
Yeah.
Good lead-in. Can you guys stay on the line? I'm going to chat to you again in a second, but let's take a listen to I Care Now.
Don't be quick, cause I'm running low on time.
Good loser. So, Ben, are there other people in your band other than you and Sol?
Sol and I do a lot of the kind of writing and structure of the songs, but for the recording, we have a few others. We've got Elias Matheson, who is on the bass, Paddy Hennessy, who does a lot of our strings and keys, and then Josiah, who's a great drummer.
I think his name's come up before. Fantastic. So, Eddie, thinking about the New Zealand music scene and, you know, the journey. For us here, we feel like there's been a lot of music released this year, which is fantastic, probably more than in the last couple of years. What are you seeing sort of is the scene and the downloads and the industry looking like?
Yeah, look, there has been a lot of music, and it's extremely competitive. And look, it's a tough game to be in. But you know, we just say to our guys, it's like a good song is a good song, and let it speak for itself. And you know, get work on your social media. You know, promote yourselves how you can. You know, try and get out. You know, we took them all out busking recently, which was a great deal of fun, you know, which was great. But it's tough work. It's not easy, but if, you know, if someone's got the will and the desire and the dream, you know, then just keep going for it. Keep working hard at your craft and, you know, keep promoting yourself and get around the right people as well to keep you grounded and you know, you just never know what's around the corner.
Absolutely. Ben and Sol, how important is the social media side for you these days? Is this something you know, you are making sure your videos or you're doing TikToks, etc., to get your songs out there or to get your interest out there?
Yeah, it's crucial at the moment. I never was a social media person, but I've had to learn on the job. I guess thanks to Sol, he's taught me a lot about that. He's quite into it. I had to do it quite a lot for my previous band, just social media and stuff. And I help other artists at the label as well with a bit of social media. But yeah, no, I think it's really, really, really important. I think it's one of the most crucial things at the moment, especially in this day and age of like the internet. You know, it's just like, everybody will see you on the internet and it's forever there, and it's probably just the best way to get your name out there, especially through social media platforms like TikTok and Instagram and stuff, you know.
And we've had lots of guests on here who talk about the importance of playing with other bands or for, you know, to kick off a night or a performance with another band, just to sort of raise your audience numbers there as well. Is that something you look at, of who you team up with or, you know, launch the pre-show with?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, we work with a lot of artists. Obviously, the majority of them are at the label because they're the closest by. But, yeah, me and Ben haven't done many gigs yet as Good Loser, so we haven't had to look at, like, openers or anything like that. But pretty soon that time will come, and trust me, it's going to be an incredible show.
I love it.
We have been doing some acoustic sets at the Oak Room on Tuesdays.
Nice.
Clint Simpson, he hosts a regular event called Next Up for up and coming artists doing acoustic sets.
Great, great.
A lot of new people through that. Mm.
Brilliant. Well, when you do have those gigs ready and lined up, let us know so we can promote them on here. For now, where can people go to follow you on those socials and start tracking down your awesome music?
Well, if you must ask, on Instagram, it's at good.loser, double R. And on TikTok, it's good.loser, double O, with a Z on the loser, because somebody else had taken our name. But yeah, go check us out there, and obviously on Spotify and iTunes and all of the streaming platforms, it's just Good Loser. We would love your support to whoever's listening. And yeah,
fantastic. Well, thank you guys for coming on a Sunday night and sharing your music with us. Eddie, if I close with you, where can people go to find out more about Chosen Records?
Yeah, sure. Just go to chosenrecords.org. We've got our website there. And, yeah, of course, like the guys, I'm always promoting all of our artists' music. Instagram's Chosen Records NZ and TikTok Chosen Records Official. Jump on the link tree and get into Spotify and all the platforms.
Fantastic. Now, to close your interview, we're going to play another track you sent us from another artist you've recorded called Private Message. It's called Fill My Own Cup. What can you tell us about Private Message?
Is that one for me?
Yeah, it's for you, Eddie.
Okay. No problem. Hey, look, private message. Patty and Matt, a fantastic duo. Look, every time I, and you'll, when the listeners hear the music, it always takes me somewhere. You know, they really write and perform from the heart. And, yeah, they met at the label as well, like, Good Loser. So, you know, they're another really exciting up and coming duo, that are starting to, be recognized and listened to. So I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy their song.
Amazing.
A great deal.
Great. Well, we'll close with that. And great talking to you, Eddie. Please keep sending your artists and their music our way. We love playing Kiwi music on Kick Arts. Just send it our way. We'll get that some airtime. And anyone that wants to chat with us.
Hey, look, thank you. Thanks, Stephen and the team at Kick Arts. And all the best. Hope to talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben Soul and Eddie. We'll close now with Fill My Own Cup by Private Message.
It's amazing and the feeling's insane. Oh man, like me, we're giving. Ain't no shame in just showing my face. Let me just explain how I'm so in love with you. I cannot keep that to myself. Oh yeah.
Private Messenger, Private Message, I should say, and from Private Message, hello, Paddy.
Hello, how are you?
Good. You just happen to be hanging out at Ben and Sol's place, eh?
They're over at mine.
Oh, how cheeky is that? And we didn't play your song first, if we'd known. Tell us a little bit about Private Message. How did this get formed?
Formed on my second day when we had a photo shoot. We were taking photos of all of the artists for the website. And Matt saw me and thought, I'm going to throw that guy over his shoulder for, just for the photo. So he threw me over his shoulder, and that's how we met. And I thought, I like this guy's energy. I'd like to show him some stuff I'm working on. I took him in and showed him First of Many, which was our first song. And he started working on that straight away. We worked on that day. And that was in April. Oh, wait, no, that was March.
That is cool. And where's your long-term goal? You've obviously heard the conversations with the last two of World Domination. Bringing it down to earth, where are you heading?
We definitely would just like to keep doing what we're doing in terms of just the message that I'd like to send, and I'm sure Matt would like to send as well, is just making sure that everyone is as open about how they're feeling as possible, you know, whether you're up, whether you're down. We should be able to express that without feeling embarrassed or anything like that. People should feel, you know, confident to open up to the people around them and the people that love them, and that's what I'd like everyone to, you know, start incorporating.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful message and goal to work towards. Hey, we're out of time, but where can people go to find out more about Private Message and follow you and listen to all your other tracks?
Yeah, for sure. Give us a follow on our Instagram, Private Message Music. We're on Spotify. We're on TikTok as well. We need to be more active on our TikTok, honestly. But, yeah, we're getting there. And, thank you so much for this opportunity. This was lovely.
No, that was cool. Let's talk again in future. Come into the studio, bring your groups in. We'd love to support you some more. So it was a little bonus having you there since we were playing your music.
Yeah, this was definitely a surprise.
Fantastic. Thanks, Paddy. Take care. Have a good rest of your Sunday night.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Brilliant. Great guys there, Emma. What a great mix.
Yeah, it was. And what a coincidence that they just happened to be in the same room when we were playing his music.
Yeah, and that conversation around social media importance and TikTok and all of that. So as we swing to our next guest live here in the studio, we're delighted to welcome Macy. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. And, you know, just listening to what the boys have been saying tonight about that importance of social media as a Kiwi artist with, you know, a rather flooded Kiwi market at the moment, which is a good positive thing for music. But how are you going down that social media journey?
I definitely think some days I should take some PR training.
Yeah, it's tough, eh?
Yeah, lots and lots of reel posting, lots and lots of general posting, going live, things like that, just anything to get the outreach, really.
Do you track that sort of data and go, okay, this has worked better for me, more people have listened to me live and then switched to something else?
Absolutely. I found that most of my followers or listeners do come from TikTok, which is a crazy thing to think about because most of the people I know are in New Zealand, whereas most of my streams come from the States and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's probably the best way to get international streams by posting on TikTok,
right,
just because it's such a large outreach for more people around the world.
Which I guess then helps with that saturation here in New Zealand,
yep,
is you can focus. And we've had guests, haven't we, before, quite recently, that one said, you know, I've got just specific listeners in Australia, and I think it was Canada or somewhere quite unusual, like two very different places. Yeah. Does that mean you then target, I guess, your social media marketing to those areas as well?
I try to target my social media more towards age groups as opposed to locations, just because I find the music that I write definitely resonates more with that later teenage year age group. But yeah, I haven't really thought too much about specific locations as such.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about, because I jumped straight into social media there, tell us a little bit about Macy. When did you sort of create, if you like, this performance character that is you?
I've always kind of been into singing. I've always done singing. I kind of started in the jazz scene more so, but I think Macy, the artist name, kind of started around October last year.
Yeah.
So it's been a pretty speed run of a ride.
Yeah.
I only released my first song this year after doing my first ever gig as Macy in November last year. And then, yeah, an agent came along to the gig. They really liked my music and they said they'd love to pay for me to get my music recorded, which was crazy. And then, yeah, I just continued doing it.
Brilliant. So who have you recorded through?
So my first song was recorded with Eddie on the Beat, which was a producer based here in Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since then, I've been with Spencer Coyle alongside working with my friend back in Christchurch, Liam Crawford.
Great.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you say in the last year, Macy's been born. Take us back. When did music sort of first kick off for you?
I've kind of always been a singer, I think. I started singing before I could talk, realistically. My parents were probably a little bit sick of me. but
That's right. Yeah. There's worse things. You could be learning the violin or something.
Oh, exactly. You know. Or the drums,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I joined my first choir when I was 5, and then I did choral singing up until I was about 13, 14. Moved on to the jazz scene, did competitive jazz singing with, like, big band, jazz band, things like that, for about 5, 6 years. And then I went into teaching singing. So I was a vocal coach for 3 years, and then... now I'm here.
Nice. And what's your goal? I mean, the boys have talked about world domination.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah, where are you heading? What's the realistic goal? Like, perhaps for the next couple of years, then beyond?
I think for the next couple of years, a few goals that I've got locked in is that I definitely want to perform at a festival. I think that would be so much fun. I don't really think I'm going after world domination personally. Okay. I think, I just really like when people connect with my music and it makes them feel something. Like, I love getting little messages from people being like, oh, like, I really resonated with your song. And it just, I don't know, it makes me feel really sweet.
Yeah, nice.
Have you got someone that you would love to be an opener for?
Mm.
Is that a goal, to be an opener for a specific artist?
I would love to be an opener for multiple people, I think. Gracie Abrams, I would love to open for. Or, like, probably Gracie Abrams, actually. Definitely.
Is it a styling of music that you emanate or kind of are inspired by?
I think so, yeah. I definitely resonate with her music a lot. Otherwise, Sabrina Carpenter would be awesome to open for.
Oh, yeah, that
would
be cool.
I would love opening for Sabrina Carpenter just because she's incredible.
Putting it out in the universe.
Exactly. Yeah. Manifestation.
Well, let's give our listeners a taste of your music. Tell us about this first track, Donut.
So Donut is definitely not what it's called. it's kind of just about this boy that I really, really liked, and he kind of didn't like me the way that I liked him. Like, he liked hanging out with me, but he didn't want to, like, hang out with me in public, was essentially the gist of it. Mm. It was a very closed doors thing. But yeah.
Where's the donut reference?
Being a hole to fill.
Okay.
A little bit crude, but.
No, that's okay.
I actually thought that, because sometimes donuts are people that are a little bit. Mm. They've got a bit of a hole in their head. There's a bit of space there.
I think I like that reasoning a bit better.
Mm. But the first one, a little bit more honest, perhaps.
But the first one's a bit more.
All right, well, let's take a listen to Donut and we'll talk more after the song break.
You said you like your girl sweet, and that's why you were enticed by me. Said you like it when you keep them close, but you get scared when other people know. You've got a real sweet tooth chasing rock hard candy, got a real nice girl who make you feel real manly. Take a wrapper off just to see what's underneath, just another hole to fill while you bite down with your teeth. You can cover me in sprinkles as you watch me while I sleep. You can ice me on the bedroom floor 7 days a week. But you'll never get the chance to know that girl you like to eat, cause you're too busy making a donut out of me. Donut out of me. I said I like it when so you stop being funny. What's up with that? I said I like it when you hit my line. So you change the length of You can ice me on the bedroom floor 7 days a week, but you'll never get the chance to know that girl you like to eat, 'cause you're too busy making a donut.
Donut, Macy. What's it like sitting in a radio station, hearing your song playing?
Crazy.
It's a little surreal.
It's a little bit surreal, a little bit crazy.
It's a great sound. You can be really proud of that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, really, really cool sound.
It's like when you talk to people, I think it may have been Emerson, I remember saying when she landed in an airplane and her song played on Air New Zealand, it was kind of like, oh my God, that's me.
Yeah. Welcome to New Zealand. Yeah.
Mm.
That's cool. You were just saying, Emma, off air, you know, about the groups like we've had on here playing, you know, those opening acts that really kickstart, and one that was on here a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Borderline opened for Teddy Swims in the, was it in the weekend or last week or whenever it was? So, I mean, how cool.
Yeah.
They've been doing amazing things overseas and everything, but it must be so amazing to get the phone call to kind of say, will you open for me?
And I bet you it's the socials that play a part in that, getting those phone calls, you know, because people are looking, and Borderline have done some great socials for a while.
Mm.
Yeah. What do you do from a planning point of view? Do you have certain amount of things that you think, I've got to get out this week to my fans, my people, and try and also go beyond that reach? Is there a certain number of posts you're trying to do each week?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm an independent artist, I don't really have people assisting me in my marketing strategies, so it's kind of just down to me to make sure I'm checking them constantly, staying on top of my posts, like filming, prepping, things like that. So I've like written out on an A4 piece of paper my posts for the rest of October, so like I've got all of my posts planned and ready to go until November.
That's great. Yeah, that's the way. Also, check the data. One of the biggest things I learned recently is, you know, looking in, especially in Meta, and seeing when are people actually engaging with my posts?
Yeah.
And then scheduling at times that, because every artist is different, even different audiences. You know, are they on at 7 in the morning before they're heading off to school, say? And then I need to make sure I'm putting a post up between 7 and 7.30. Is it late at night because they're the midnight wide awake ones, you know? Find that data in Meta first. Yeah, so important.
How much of your time is split, do you think, between self-promotion and writing new music?
I'm quite lucky in the writing music department where it's like I can't seem to stop. So
good.
It's just always kind of flushing out and getting out of me. But when it comes
Are you lyrics or music first?
It varies, actually.
Sorry,
it varies a lot of the time.
Okay.
Sometimes I go for the lyrics first. Like I'll just be walking around and then like something will inspire a lyric and then I'm like, oh, I need to work on that like right away. Whereas other times I'll purposefully pick up my guitar and, like, go to songwrite. So it just kind of works a bit differently depending on circumstance, I feel.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Are you juggling other things in your life, work, uni, study, or are you all heads down in music?
Well, I was studying, but I actually made the decision very, very recently, as a few weeks ago, to fully just dive in to my music, lock in. So I'm working day shifts so that I can actually get my nights for studio recording, things like that.
Is nights more your thing, right?
I think so. I write most of my songs around midnight, which is probably not the best for the sleep schedule, but definitely when my creative juices are flowing the most.
Now, you mentioned Donut came from a true experience.
Yeah.
Is all your music coming from real life experiences?
Yes, they are, which is something that I think I'm most proud of, I think, is that I write how I feel. Like, all of my music is kind of an interpretation of what I was feeling about what I'm writing about.
And how does that feel, I guess, to be vulnerable enough to put yourself out like that?
Scary, sometimes, 100%. I find it most intimidating when it's someone I don't know listening to it in front of me. Like, I was filming a content video where I went around asking people what they thought of my song. And that was terrifying because it was just, they could say anything realistically. Yeah. But yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Do you have a process when you're writing that music? Is it sort of working out your story? I guess almost storyboarding it? Like, how do you sort of create that piece of music?
I think sometimes I kind of just write down exactly what I'm feeling. Like, I'll just spitball the whole thing and then I'll go back to the top and make it cohesive, because most of the time it's not usually, because feelings never really are cohesive. But, yeah, no, I think I spitball, word vomit, get it all out, and then I kind of circle back around and construct them into something that makes sense.
And does that tweak and change as you create the actual music to it?
Yeah.
Actually, that just doesn't fit, so I need to change it.
Yeah, like sometimes if I were to make my melody first, I kind of think about what the melody reminds me of or like makes me think of and feel. But yeah.
So earlier we were talking to the guys working in at Chosen Records, recording their music, and sort of the part, I guess, the record producers have played in their journey. What's that looking like for you? Do you go into a recording studio and go, okay, this is it, fixed in stone, make this sound good? Or do you go in and go, this is what I think I have and I want your input? Like, how does it work?
I'm really, really lucky that I've got such a good relationship with my producer. I think, like, we've just become really good friends. So I'll be like, hey, like, what do you think about this? I'd love your input on it. And then he'll give me his input on it. And usually it's that he loves it and he... He hates that he always loves it because he feels like he's sucking up a little bit. But he's very, very good at what he does. And he definitely brings aspects that I would have never thought of. And he'd be like, oh, like, tell me if you hate it. And he'd do it. And it's just exactly what the song needed. So, yeah, I trust him with my life, realistically.
Because that is so important. I can imagine, you know, the opposite, going in and having someone who just doesn't get your vibe or doesn't get your feel behind it. And it's just literally mixing the dial.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've definitely worked with producers like that before, but now that I'm working with Spencer again, and even my friend back in Ototahi, Liam, both of them, they know me as a person, so I think they know what I am after, they know what the sound that I want to have is, and it's so, so nice to just walk in and know that I'm in good hands as well.
Who's inspired you musically over the years?
Oh...
Or who do you listen to that gives you inspiration?
I listen to a lot of rock bands, which is quite funny because my music's not really rock. but, yeah, I love, like, small indie bands from, like, New Zealand, Australia specifically. But apart from that, I think lyrically, Phoebe Bridges, I love her lyricism. Same with, like, Sabrina Carpenter, she's very real. Lizzie McAlpine is a huge influence for me. I really love her stuff. Same with Gracie Abrams. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Where do you sit in this AI conversation these days? You know, it must be tough. It's tough for an older artist now being impacted by it. But I can imagine being a brand new artist trying to sort of go, this is my real voice, my real music. When there are people making very good music with AI, where's your headspace in that?
I don't know. I feel like the music that I like listening to, definitely I like it when it makes me feel something. And I personally don't really think AI music does that for me.
Okay.
That might just be me. But I don't know. It just lacks soul, which is kind of what I look for in a song. Like, I look for the emotion and I look for real lyricism. And sure, AI is whipping out some great lyrics. I'll give it to them. But
I guess that's where we go back to those socials and gigs of proving that you're real.
Exactly.
So AI is not, thankfully, yet creating TikTok videos and all of that. We're hearing the music, but with you, we're actually seeing you. You're a real person. You're out interviewing people. You're on the streets. Those guys earlier, I love that they went busking. You know, that realness. Is that something that's now probably more important than ever?
I definitely think so. Like, for me, music has always been about that person-to-person connection. So it's like, I love performing live and I'll do it every opportunity I get. But I think it's super important because people do need to know that you are real and they need to know that you care enough past a screen as well.
Isn't it crazy that we have to say that? we're running out of time, but before we close our show tonight, we're going to play your song, J&J. Tell us about that one.
So J&J I released for Pride Month this year, and it's basically just about liking your friend a bit more than a friend way. I met this girl and we got along super, super well, and I kind of developed a huge crush on her, and she wanted to stay friends, which is fair enough, I guess. I know, criminal. But yeah, so we're actually still friends now, and she knows the songs about her as well. It's very entertaining. But yeah, I kind of wrote this song when I was like, I know we're friends, because whenever we'd get drunk, there'd be like those moments where it's like, oh, will they, won't they?
Brilliant.
Will they, won't they? We didn't, but
yeah. I love your honesty. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. We would love, this was just a short check-in tonight, but we'd love to stay in touch.
Absolutely.
Keep sending us your music. Come back and talk to us. Bring your guitar.
Beautiful.
And let's have a jam session again in the future.
Sounds gorgeous.
How can people follow you, track you down, and all that important stuff?
So on Spotify, I'm May-C. That's May-C. On Instagram, it's May Clark with two Ys. And TikTok, it's mayc.music.
Brilliant. All the best. Thanks so much for
coming
on
Kick
Out tonight. Emma, tonight's show has just vanished so fast. We are out of time. We're going to close with J&J from May-C. Hope you have a fabulous week, Emma, ahead.
Yeah, busy week.
Busy week, and we're going to catch up with some shows at the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, here is J&J. Have a fabulous week, and make sure you
kick some arts.
That's totally fine. Big girls will be girls when they're drinking white wine. So we're just friends, but when we're in a crowd, you're the only one I'm looking at who stands out. I promise just friends, but there's no doubt. Fuck our friendship's over. We need a prince in this story. When Juliet and Juliet's a better lost baby. We went on a date, but just for a joke. What a laugh, what a funny little friend zone. We need a prince in this story. When Juliet and Juliet's a better lost baby. Stars saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some art.